The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Texas show.
You know, years ago, Eric and I were close, very close.
I remember that one summer we shaved each other's backs and thought nothing of it.
But over the years, somehow a shadow has fallen over our friendship, and now the two of us are about the hairiest sons of guns you can imagine.
And now the human sweater himself,
Eric Metaxas.
That's just wrong on so many levels. Thanks, Todd. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas show. Don't forget that beyond Todd Wilkerson and his intros, there's a whole show. And we, on this show, often get to do something particularly wonderful, which is to say, introduce our audience to someone or something new and wonderful. It makes me very happy that I have this platform to do that. Today, now some of you will know exactly what this is, but some of you have not heard of it. We're talking today about something called Trail Life USA. I think of it as the good alternative to what used to be called the Boy Scouts. I have sitting here with me Mark Hancock, who is an author, an award-winning writer, a conference speaker, and the CEO of Trail Life USA. Mark Hancock, welcome to the show.
Eric, it's great to be here. Thank you.
When I heard about you and Trail Life, I just got crazy happy because I thought we need something like this. Boy Scouts, like many institutions, has fallen on hard times. They're confused. They're going with the culture. And if you float along with the culture, you lose everything. You don't know what you believe. You believe nothing. We need an alternative. And out of the woodwork pops Trail Life USA. Right. So, first of all, what led you out of advertising, wherever you were in life, to this organization?
Well, that's a great question, and the story is amazing to me even today, because if you look at my resume, I'm not really qualified for what it is that I'm doing. But
yeah, they should fire you.
That, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they should. They should.
I don't know that I want to go that far.
Yeah, of course.
But I ended up being invited to a meeting in 2013. When the Boy Scouts had made some decisions about changing their course, their traditional membership standards, and it was clear that they were taking a direction, a cultural direction, that we knew that a lot of Christians and a lot of churches weren't going to be able to align with. And so there was a meeting of 50 people. They're drawn together in Louisville, Kentucky. They're former scouting executives, Christian leaders, Christian media people. And somehow I was in there in that room. And out of that mix, for a day and a half, four factions came together and developed this idea of what this organization would look like, what an alternative to the Boy Scouts would look like. And walked out there with about seven men on a steering committee. 68 days later in Nashville, Tennessee, we held an inaugural convention, had 1,200 people come from 44 states. Governor Huckabee, who I know is a friend of yours, spoke there. Dr. Michael Ferris spoke there. We had an amazing gathering that weekend, and that was the launch. And then on January 1st was our official launch. And we had
of 2014.
2014.
Yeah.
We had 10,000 members on our first day. So I moved from that steering committee kind of because I had a lot of free time. I was able to do a lot of logistics and organizational stuff. And then on January 1st when we launched, I stepped off of the board and became at that time the COO. And then about 3 months later, I was changed to being the CEO.
Okay, so you're leading Trail Life USA, mm-hmm. Which, as far as I can tell, is, you know, if I had a boy at that age, I would never send him to the Boy Scouts anymore because that organization has really fallen apart, let's be honest. But I would send them to Trail Life USA because it seems to me that you all have retained the best of what the Boy Scouts used to be. So I want to know, how many states are you in? If there are people listening now with young kids and they're thinking about this, and by the way, this is for boys only. This is like Boy Scouts, or is this for girls as well?
It's boys only.
Okay, so Trail Life USA. Where are you? What states are you in? How can people connect with you?
We're in 50 states. We have members in 50 states. We're in over 800 churches across the country, coming up on 28,000 members in just our 5 years. So we've seen a lot of growth. And if they go to traillifeusa.com, there's an interactive map. You can put in your zip code or your address, and it'll show you all the troops in your area that you can get involved with. Or then you can find out how to start a troop there, if you're interested in helping boys. And you mentioned that when you talk about Boy Scouts, Eric, and really I think that's the most disappointing thing about the Boy Scouts is at a time when boys really need programs that are focused on them, you know, in this era that we're living in with you can't say masculinity without hearing the word toxic before it anymore, boys really need somebody who's still focused on them. And that's who we are. We say we are Christ-centered, which means we retain the biblical traditional values,
yeah,
and we are boy-focused. And both those things we're unapologetic about. We think boys and girls need their own programs in order to really...
Well, there's no question about it. You know, having raised a girl, I can say she went to an all-girls school, and there's something so wonderful about that, so healthy about that. Boys and girls are a little different, and if you've raised them, you know that. And, you know, the idea that Boy Scouts are now allowing in girls, it just makes a mockery of everything, in the same way that girls sports teams are letting on boys who think that they're girls. Just things have turned upside down, and if you're trying to raise young men and women, it's tough. And that's why when I heard about your organization, I thought, oh my gosh, the world needs to know about Trail Life USA, because it's just I'm just thrilled you guys exist, and I'm amazed you've only existed for whatever it is now, 5 years and change, barely. But you say you're in 50 states. How in the world did you grow so quickly that you're in 50 states?
Well, there's real hunger from what it is that we're doing.
You know there are only 50 states, right? You're in all the states. I'm kidding. It's pretty incredible that you could say, well, you know, I was expecting you to say, well, we're in, you know, 30 states and we're trying to get into this and that. But that's huge. How did this happen so quickly?
Yeah, well, I think it just rings true. I think people understand. You said boys and girls are different. And that's a radical thing to say.
Can you imagine that we're living in a time where that's by the way, it's not a radical thing to say. It's insane that we have to even put it that way.
It really is. Yeah. But it's politically incorrect. Let's say that.
Thank the Lord.
It's a difficult thing
Truth
to say.
Truth itself is politically incorrect.
But we don't mind saying that. And we're unapologetic about that. We think girls and boys need programs that are aimed at them because they're different. I just read about a school in Memphis, Tennessee, Booker T. Washington School. They converted to boys-only and girls-only classes. And their graduation rate went from 53%, which is horrible, to over 90% just by making that change. So when you talk about boys and girls need their own environment, they really do. That's the truth about it. There's biological differences, psychological differences that you just can't argue with. It's not a social construct. And so in Trail Life USA, we believe that. And we serve boys. We're specifically focused on helping boys. And, Eric, I tell a lot of people it's kind of like, you know, when they put the canaries in the mine, in the coal mine?
Yeah.
Boys are sort of the canaries in the coal mine of our culture right now, and they're really faltering in so many areas. They're twice as likely to be special education, three times more likely to be ADHD. They have fallen behind girls in every single academic category, and it's really tragic with what's going on, and now they have this toxic label that's been applied to them. So they need an organization like Trail Life USA, and I think that's ringing true with parents. And so initially a majority of our troops are Boy Scout troops, former Boy Scout troops, over the last 5 years, that's changed, where churches and organizations that never chartered a Boy Scout troop are looking at Trail Life USA and saying, we need – our boys need that.
Well, it's one of the reasons I wanted you on here is because I want to say bluntly to all who are listening to this program, we need Trail Life USA in every community in America. There is nothing like it. You guys are doing heroic work. And if you care about boys, you do not want to send them to Boy Scouts. Now, I know there are some Boy Scout troops out there that are not guilty of what the national organization is guilty of. But the national organization has thrown boys under the bus. Mm-hmm. And to have a name like Boy Scouts and to throw boys under the bus and to bow to the political correctness of our age is scandalous, it's cowardly, It's horrifying, and I think people need to take a stand and understand what is happening. A lot of times parents don't realize what is happening, but what has happened to the Boy Scouts is a scandal. People need to start Trail Life USA in their communities. It's just my privilege, Mark, to have you on here. When we come back, I want to talk, get into the details, more details of what it is. But just thanks for coming on. Folks, we're going to be right back. More with Trail Life USA, the website traillifeusa.com. Check it out. Sure and true. Seems it never rains in summer. Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas. This is the show. And I'm sitting here with my guest for the hour, Mark Hancock, who is the head, the CEO of Trail Life USA. Mark, welcome. And I'm looking at the book. You just handed me the handbook. Mm-hmm. Trail Life USA, the Trailman's Handbook for Navigators and Adventurers, 6th to 12th grade. And I'm flipping through here, and I'm not kidding. This makes me want to be a boy again and to join Trail Life USA because it is intoxicating. Just the chapters you have, you know, nature, hiking, camping, cooking, rope work, fitness, first aid, aquatics, citizenship, leadership, your heritage, relationships. I think this is just a dream. And I know this is the answer to the prayers of so many parents. But I've got to ask you before we continue talking about Trail Life USA, can people buy the handbook? How do you get a handbook? Can you buy this online?
Yeah, they can go online and buy the handbook at our website, traillifeusa.com. I think the tab says shop or something like that. But
it's not available like on barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com.
I don't think so.
Why the heck not?
Because, well, we publish ourselves for our members primarily.
Yeah. Well, still, I think because it's just so cool. If people want to see what this is.
It really is.
And they get a copy of this book.
It really is.
It is cool. It makes me want to be a boy and go through this. I'm just thrilled you guys are doing this.
And it's a fascinating book to read because it's not a handbook like a thing of bulleted checklists or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's how to accomplish your badges or things like that. Although we do a robust awards program. But this is like – this book, the tone is almost like you're sitting down with your wise uncle and he's talking to you about being a boy and growing up and the things you're going to encounter and the challenges that you're going to have and how to engage in the outdoors. So it really is a nice read. That's for our older boys. The Navigators Adventure Program is middle grade and high school, but we also have Woodlands Trail, which is our elementary age group. We start in kindergarten and go up all the way through 12th grade. The Woodlands Trail book, they have their own handbook for their age, and it also includes stories in the back, like bedtime stories that the parents can read and have character-based stories about characters who live in the woods.
I just love this. I'm eating it up. So Woodlands Trail is the K through 5th grade version of Trail Life USA.
Right. And if you think in the Boy Scout model, they had their Cub Scouts and they had Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Ours is different because it's a single troop. So you start in kindergarten, you stay in that one troop all the way through to 12th grade. But we have breaks in that because your Woodlands Trailmen, the younger boys, need a different type of program. It's a different program. The awards are different. They earn them quicker because they need that feedback a lot faster. They're working on knowledge, acquiring knowledge. And the middle grade boys are working on taking that knowledge and gaining understanding of it. And then the high school boys are working on wisdom and applying that knowledge and that understanding. So it's a classical model of bringing boys to maturity. They start with the knowledge because when they're young, they can learn a lot. They can grab all kinds of information, and then they mature in their understanding why they have that knowledge, and then they're applying that knowledge. So it's the model from Proverbs. It talks about knowledge and understanding and wisdom and how that grows a man.
Well, really, this just sounds amazing. And I remember, you know, not to denigrate the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts have recently become something that is not faithful to the tradition because there's so many people who grew up Boy Scouts, and it's one of the greatest parts of their life. And I think that it does feel like a betrayal to many of those people that the current Boy Scouts has gone, you know, drank the Kool-Aid mm-hmm. and is kind of swimming in the cultural stream rather than against the cultural stream. Because when the culture goes wrong, you need to, you know, you need to stay right. Mm-hmm. And they really have done that. Because I think so many people grew up, and the Boy Scouts and some Eagle Scouts that I know, it was one of the greatest parts mm-hmm. of their life. And that's why I'm just so excited that they can still have that for their kids yeah. through what you are doing. Now, were you in scouting as a kid?
No, I wasn't. My sons were in scouting. My older son is an Eagle Scout, and then we left before my younger son was able to progress. But in Trail Life, we have the Freedom Award, which is our highest honor in Trail Life USA. But yeah, you know, amazing legacy the Boy Scouts has. We have a lot of men who are involved in our organization who you know, like you said, they felt a sense of betrayal. They love being in Trail Life because it allows them to engage in what it is that they remember growing up in. You know, it's a restoration of the goodness of a male-centric environment and challenge and those types of things that they encounter there. So they get to go back and do that again. We have a lot of former Eagle Scouts. We actually allow Eagle Scouts to transfer in, and then there's some things that they go through for about a year and a half or so, and they can achieve the Freedom Award. And
they can transfer credits?
You pretty much transfer credits, yeah. If you were, because some of the things are the same.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a hiking badge, it's very similar to the badge that we offer. Yeah. But now there's some things that are very different. We have things like values badges that you're not going to find in Boy Scouts that talk about family and what it is to be
now, did they? Did Boy Scouts ever have anything like that? Like if we go back 50 or 70 years, did the Boy Scouts have anything along those lines?
They really did. And here's the advantage of starting something in this culture is we got to look back at 103 years of Boy Scouts history yeah. and say, but you know, we were forged in the fires of this cultural battle. And so we are set against any kind of departure from our mission. They didn't have the advantage. When they started, when they talked about God, everybody knew who God was. And when they talked about it being a Christian experience, everybody knew what that was. But along the way, they kind of lost touch.
So the Boy Scouts were originally actually Christian in some way?
It's almost like they didn't have to say it because you were in a culture where everybody was Christian.
What year were they founded?
They were founded, I want to say, 1911.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, when I think of the muscular Christianity of people like Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, there was something mm-hmm. in the culture that was extraordinarily mm-hmm. healthy and beautiful, mm-hmm. and it was assumed.
Yeah.
But as you know and I know and most people listening know, we kind of drifted and drifted and drifted until you get to a point of sheer absurdity. So what happens? I mean, if somebody has a kid who's, you know, in third grade, and they, if you have 28,000 members across the country, that's not a huge amount in the sense that the potential is staggering. So a lot of people, I think, maybe would, if they want to get involved, they would have to maybe start a Trail Life USA chapter.
Right.
You call it a chapter? What do you call it?
Troop.
A troop in their neck of the woods. And right. So what would that consist of if somebody says, yeah, I'm up for this, or maybe a couple of guys I know. Maybe we could partner together as dads and do something like this. What would they have to do?
Yeah, it takes about five adults and a chartering organization. And our chartering organization is 99% of the time is going to be a church. It's someone who has a Christian mission, specifically Christian mission that agrees with our statement of faith and our statement of values. And that's the chartering organization. And then it takes the adults to come together and form the basic core. And then they start inviting boys, and they're off and running. We have volunteers across the country that assist in that process. They'll help troops start up. They've been through it before. They can help the troops get up and started. And so you have lots of personal contact. We're very volunteer centric. With that many members, we only have about 20 people on staff, but we have hundreds of volunteers across the country who are serving in these roles of helping people start troops or helping them to understand the processes of the program.
Yeah, and how have you been able to get the word out around the country about Trail Life USA? I mean, what's, you know, how have you been able to do that?
From a marketing standpoint, it's been primarily social media, but there's been a lot of earned media opportunities, and then there's also been just a lot of word of mouth. You know, we're in somewhat of an outdoor community, and people tend to find each other, and they know what's going on. But I would say primarily social media and word of mouth through churches and through denominations
right.
who are telling their churches to get
now,
involved.
Now, you've been on – I know you've done media. You've done Family Life Radio, mm-hmm. Dennis Rainey, and you've done James Dobson's Family Talk. and Fox Nation's Todd Starnes, Starnes Country. Hey, I've been on Starnes Country.
Have you?
Yes, but it's kind of cool that, you're able to get the word out like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm that much happier that you can get the word out on this program, because I know there are tons of people listening right now who had not heard about this. And this is just so key. It's so important. I always say that, you know, if you want to invest in the country, invest in the young men. These are the leaders of tomorrow, the fathers of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It is so important. The husbands of tomorrow. We need to invest in these boys.
Yeah.
And this is very big for me. I wrote my book, Seven Men, because of this, basically, yeah. which yeah. is why when I heard about you, I was just so so thrilled. Now, if people go to traillifeusa.com, what will they find there?
All kinds of information on how to start a troop or how to find a troop in your area. Some information on what a troop looks like, how it functions together. There's lots of great stuff there, and they can get connected with a volunteer who can help answer all their questions.
I hope this explodes. I am just so excited, folks. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Mark Hancock, who is the CEO of Trail Life USA. Go to traillifeusa.com. Check it out. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about Trail Life USA. I think of it really as the actual continuation of what used to be the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts today are no longer what they were, and I am tickled to death that Trail Life USA has popped into existence just 5 years ago. And Mark Hancock, you used to run a national ad agency. Now you are leading this. You've got a passion for boys. You have two sons. Tell us what you were just talking to me about on the break, this small book, this pamphlet that you've written.
We have a book. In fact, it's a free download on our website called Let Boys Be Boys. And we talk about three winning strategies for leaders of boys. We know that there's men who are called to lead boys. And we want to align with them and give them a place to do that. And so the book talks about some of the challenges that boys are facing today. In this environment, this culture that we're in right now, boys are lagging in so many different areas, and they need somebody to take up their cause. And honestly, that's the most disappointing thing for me about the Boy Scouts, is that when boys needed them the most, they stepped away. And they may think that it's bold of them to welcome girls, but what's happening to boys is really sad.
Oh, they've become part of the problem. I mean, it's the worst nightmare that the very organization that ought to have stepped into the gap didn't have the courage to do that. They stepped away. But you guys did have the courage. Mm-hmm. So what is that Let Boys Be Boys?
Boys Be Boys. So we talk about three basic strategies. One, we talk of you have to embrace the science that there are physiological, biological, actual differences
Get
between
out.
Boys and girls.
Really? Come on. Differences
things,
between
things, yeah.
You're probably crazy enough to think that chickens and roosters have differences. Yeah, what kind of a monster are you? Okay, so talk to us about that's number one. What else?
Number one is that competition and risk is huge for boys. You know, they need that competition, and we've taken that away from them. I mean, the participation trophy, I like talking about how we're raising a generation of unproductive narcissists. They're unproductive because we haven't required them to do anything, and they're narcissists because we haven't given them a chance to fail. And so they think that they can do anything. And what they end up doing is since 1960, since they started tracking this in the
yeah.
census, there are more men living at young men living at home than ever before.
Of course.
Because they haven't learned how to take on a challenge
yeah.
and achieve it. So we talk about that, and then we also talk about how to allow physical movement. Boys have to be moving in order to learn. They know that intuitively. That's why your 10-year-old is fidgeting. It's cool.
That's called healthy masculinity. That is so absolutely. So true. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. So we tell our leaders, you know, your room, if it looks like a classroom or like a Sunday school room, you've probably already lost those boys because they already know that environment is a place where they can't keep up. They cannot sit still, be quiet, and pay attention. They're not wired to do that. They're wired. Their eyes, their brain, the way that they're wired, that's not their best learning environment. You got to keep them moving. And they know that. That's why they're fidgeting, because they know if you want me to think and listen to you, I got to move a little bit.
Right.
I need some action here. And so we talk about those kind of just real life strategies to help boys.
Well, that's huge. I mean, what you're talking about is revolutionary. It's monumental. And it's elemental because boys haven't changed across the millennia. Mm-hmm. And somehow we've entered a very, very sick period in culture where we act as though, oh, we figured out something else. Mm-hmm. You can't.
No, you
can't. Cannot. Until a rooster lays an egg, I'm still going to go with this idea that there are fundamental differences between male and female. And if you don't acknowledge that and work with that the way you guys do, you're dead.
Right.
You're gonna create a depressed culture.
Right. And you're really swimming upstream to say it's a social construct. Because you can't the structure of the eyes, the structure of the brain is not a social construct. The structure of the ears is not a social construct. And there's differences in the way the boys see, hear, the way that they think, and we've got to acknowledge that rather than say, well, let's try to force them into a model that works really well for girls, and let's just tell the boys that there must be something wrong. You know, it's like boyhood is some kind of social disease that has to be eradicated, and we're just trying to give more energy to boys. And help them to grow and mature to be winning and focused men.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I just want to say what you're doing is heroic. And the lies that are coming out of this culture about boys, they are out of the pit of hell. They are a spiritual blight on this nation and on the West. They're destroying families. They're destroying marriages. These are really, really pernicious lies. And so for you to be standing against them and vocalizing what is true is heroic. And I really want to say to my listeners out there, you may have boys, you may have grandkids, you may have nephews, or you may know someone who does. You need to get the word out because we are in a battle for this culture. And I would say at the very heart of it is what you're talking about, Mark Hancock, is the difference between boys and girls, between men and women. These are differences that God created for his purposes. And when we eradicate those things, it ends up being not less than evil, doing tremendous destruction. So I just am so thrilled that you have been doing what you're doing and that on this program we can tell people about it. So traillifeusa.com is the website. Can people find you there? Are you on the website? Or are you hiding?
I'm hiding.
You're hiding?
There may be a bio.
There may be a bio. I'm just so proud of you, Mark, and I know there are people out there. I want to exhort people who are listening. Folks, do the right thing. Check this out. Maybe not for you. Maybe for your neighbor. Maybe for your relative. TrailLifeUSA.com. When you find something this good, you jump on it. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Larger voices calling. What heaven brought you and me?
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
Hey there, folks. That's Paul McCartney. I bumped into him on the street the other day on Madison Avenue, not far from where I live. And I asked him if I could get a selfie with him, and he said, don't do selfies, and he walked away. I spit on him. Hey, speaking of a man who does do selfies, I cannot believe I'm sitting here with the President of the United States.
Great to be
back. Mr. President, I just
thank you. And make sure you get a selfie after we do this.
Well, I've gotten a selfie with you before.
I know, but this will be a fresh
and
one.
And I want to get a fresh one.
Right.
I want to get a fresh one. We got a lot to talk about.
I've taken more photos than I think any
you know
president
what? That's
in
a,
history.
That's a fact.
Right.
But I want to ask you a couple things. First
sure.
of all, last time you were here, I think we talked about our mutual friend Mike Lindell. He's a sponsor
Mike,
on this
great
show.
Guy.
And when people get something from MyPillow,
right,
they have to put in the code Eric or Metaxas.
Right.
But I wanted to be clear to you. So when you're talking to your rallies, you tell them, okay, if you order something from MyPillow, don't use the other codes. You either use Eric or Metaxas, because the other codes, even if they advertise on Fox News, those are Democrat codes.
Right. That is correct.
And that money is funneled right to Pelosi and Che Guevara and
terrible
the Castro
people,
family.
People. But so, you know what? My rallies, we have my own code because I'm helping Mike.
Is that true?
Yes. We use the code No Collusion.
No Collusion.
No Collusion.
Right.
I think it's 20% off.
But the,
how much off
the
is
Eric
yours?
Or the Metaxas is way bigger than that.
Bigger?
I hate to tell you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to talk to Mike.
You're going to talk to Mike. But it's just important.
Good
that people don't want to be funding the Democrats. But
not at all. Not a penny.
I want to say to you, did you know that everything that Mike Lindell does that we advertise on the show is made in America?
America. By Americans.
Can you imagine?
By Americans. So much stuff is made in China.
Yeah.
So much stuff is made in China. And China's killing us. They're absolutely killing us. Terrible people, the Chinese. Great takeout. Terrible people.
Really?
I spoke to Xi Jinping. You know who he is. He's the premier.
Gesundheit.
I don't know why he has an X in his name. Why do people put X's in names? I don't get that.
I have an X in my name, but I'm not Chinese that I know
but
of.
Not in the beginning, not in the first letter. I don't get it. But I have to tell you something. The Chinese, they're shrewd people, but they're smart. You know why? They have a wall. They have a tremendous wall that runs through the entire country. And guess what? Guess what? No Mexicans.
You know,
not one Mexican in China. And not even a Taco Bell. So that's pretty severe. You can't even get Mexican food.
That is interesting, because the Guatemalans, there's no way they're going to go over the Chinese wall to get to America.
Absolutely. I mean, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. You see how high it is? Have you seen it?
No.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And you know what? I'm so tired of – and here's another thing that drives me crazy. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats are saying that a southern border wall is medieval. They're saying it's medieval. And I don't care if it's early evil, medieval, late evil. I don't really care about the style.
Right.
I just want it built.
You just want it to be effective.
I want it to be effective. And I went to Nets and I never do this.
You know what's medieval would be a moat.
A moat?
A moat?
That's actually a good idea, though.
Think about that.
That's a good idea.
Huh?
Let's move the swamp. Move the swamp.
All we have to do is move the Rio Grande.
Right.
Well,
which can be done. I know people. I know guys that do that kind of work. They do tremendous work. But I went up to Capitol Hill, and I never do this. Went to Nancy Pelosi's office. I'm going to be nice for a second.
Was she there?
No, she wasn't there. Yeah. That's the whole point.
AOC was camped out there.
Probably.
With her little...
Is she the one with the big glasses?
I don't remember.
There was somebody serving tea.
I think you're thinking of Iris Apfel. She's the 98-year-old fashion doyen. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, I walk into Nancy Pelosi's office, right? Nancy Pelosi, okay? Yeah, I was trying to be nice, but I can't be nice. Yeah. I walk in. Guess what she has in her office?
What?
Walls. She has walls. I can't have a wall, but she can have walls? Not fair.
Wait a minute. In her own office?
In her own office, she has walls. And you know, she's hanging photos and paintings on them. That's such an insult.
Well, it's actually, those walls are obviously divisive and hypocritical.
Totally hypocritical.
I mean, if she was against walls, she would never do that. At least she could have like some of those low like dividers and things.
Right,
that's
exactly.
More open. It's more egalitarian.
Which they always talk about. The Democrats always talk about that stuff, but they're not like that. They're not like that. So
well,
I wanted to mention that. And by the way, I get a bum rap at the Mexican people. I love the Mexican people. Tremendous people. And I love Mexican food. I love the Quesadillas and the Oompa Loompas and the M Pandas,
sure.
But the best taco bowls are where? Trump Tower, here on Fifth Avenue.
Right.
Great taco bowls.
Now, Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue, I live here in New York, and you used to live at Trump Tower. I don't know where you are now, but
I'm at the White House. What a dump this place is.
Yeah,
I have to tell you. What a disappointment this place is. I never saw myself living in government housing. And the last family, it was tough to get out.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the thing about Trump Tower now in New York is it's become an even bigger tourist attraction. And there's tons of cops and barricades and stuff because people want to protest and do.
There's protesters, but there's many more people that are pro-Trump that don't be fooled by the fake media. There's many more people out there that are pro-Trump than anti. And I even hate to say the word. Maybe people who just dislike me a little, but soon they're going to love me because great economy, lower taxes, everyone's feeling so much better.
Right.
Respected again around the world.
And you're taking us back to outer space.
Yes. Space Force.
We've been dreaming about this since I was a kid.
Yes.
I mean, when we went to the moon, I was a little kid. I'll never forget it. It was July 20th, 1969, which reminds me, actually, on the 50th anniversary of that, aren't you doing a special event in Chicago?
Special event at the Trump Tower, Chicago. It's the big Trump 2020 gala. We're going to celebrate my reelection early at Trump Tower.
Right.
And you can go into Eventbrite and look it up. Trump
right.
Tower, Chicago, Trump Gala 2020. It's going to be an incredible four-course meal. Lots of speakers. Roger Stone will be there. It's
going Roger to be Stone?
Roger Stone.
So he's not in jail evening. Yet.
No, no. And he's not going. And he's not going.
He's so well-dressed.
Can you imagine
right.
Roger in jail?
I don't see that. I don't see. They probably wouldn't let him wear those glasses.
No, he doesn't look good in a jumpsuit. He's got to look. The way he looks is incredible.
It's incredible. Would you consider pardoning somebody like Roger Stone or Paul Manafort? It seems to me that at some point you might have to think about that.
Absolutely. Why not? That's what the pardoning power is for.
Right.
He's a good friend. He hasn't done anything wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think they've just overdone it with these two guys.
Well, I'm glad.
Bankrupted Paul.
I know. It's sad. Well, look, we're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing in this segment, since I happen to have the President of the United States
right.
with me, and again, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure
but,
to be here.
But you,
tremendous studio.
You
by the
know
way.
That our friend Mike Lindell advertises on this program.
Yes, yes.
And I want people to know, just because I haven't said it more, I want to say these things so people get it clear. Mm-hmm. If you don't use the discount code Eric or Metaxas,
right.
it goes to the Democratic coffers.
Right. I've heard it. I've heard about many, many people have told me about
people
this.
Don't
this
realize
is not good. This is not good.
I don't
good.
Care what
so
the code is.
Only
if
use...
it's not Eric or Metaxas.
Right. And Mike's pillows are amazing. And you're amazing.
Thank you
and
very
you should
much.
Get the full discount by using your name.
Thank you very much.
Tremendous.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, that's Chrissy McVee and Fleetwood Mac. I'm Eric Metaxas. Albin, you're Albin.
Ooh.
And on the line, we have John Smirik. I want to say real quick, thank you to all of you who gave to the preborn campaign.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We hit our goal. It mm-hmm. took some doing, but we got there thanks to you.
Yeah.
God bless you. Really, really wonderful. And we want to thank John DiDomenico,
yeah,
who appears on this program as Donald Trump. The dude is a genius. We need to get him back on. If you miss those videos,
oh, yeah.
go on YouTube, Eric Metaxas Show. There's no one better than this guy. He is absolutely hilarious and brilliant. I felt like I was talking to the president. Speaking of talking to the president, I'm now speaking to John Smirak again. John Smirak, you wrote another brilliant article at stream.org titled A Nationalist Case for Slavery Reparations. And the subtitle is We Need to Win Black Americans Away from the Left Forever. We just got a few minutes. Tell us about this article.
Okay. Most of the left is using the actual suffering and injustice that black people really endured under slavery and Jim Crow. They're using that to push a wide array of totally unrelated issues, from transgender athletes to drag queen story hour to abortion on demand to gay marriage. Every issue the left gets hold of, they pretend, is the equivalent of Jim Crow and slavery, and they weaponize the genuine suffering of black Americans to try to push their radical left agenda.
And by the way, a lot of blacks are very angry about this, and they have no voice in the media.
Hmm. And I'm getting this from talking to an 80-year-old black minister, Bill Owen. He's head of the Coalition of African American Pastors. He marched in the 50s. He got spat on while integrating lunch counters in the South. He was part of Martin Luther King's civil rights movement. And now he sees all the moral capital of that movement being used for things that black Christians want nothing to do with, like open borders and giving sex change operations to federal prisoners and putting male rapists who identify as women into women's prisons so they can rape again. These things have nothing to do with the suffering of black people, which was real, which was appalling, and which America needs to repent for. So putting it very briefly, we should make a deal. We should offer a deal whereby we separate black suffering and black claims, which are legitimate, from the rest of these fake claims by people who are using them and weaponizing them and kicking them to the curb. And the way I would do that is I would offer a package of reparations for slavery that are mostly tax cuts, tuition scholarships, you're exempt from the payroll tax, not probably giving away a lot of cash, because giving away a lot of cash is not always the best thing for people. It's probably better to give them educational opportunities that are not just for poor people, that are specifically for them as descendants of slaves. And people have to show that they're descended from slaves, not Jamaican immigrants like Kamala Harris, whose ancestors owned slaves. No, we're not going to give reparations to Kamala Harris, the daughter of slave owners. We're going to give it to the children and great-grandchildren of slaves. And we're also going to change the Civil Rights Act so it only applies to groups that were actually persecuted by the U.S. government, like American Indians and black people. We're going to stop letting illegal immigrants who get amnesty then use affirmative action.
I have one final question. Americans. One final question for John Zmierich. John Zmierich, may I be your vice president?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Folks, you got to go to stream.org.
Secretary of State for me.
All
Secretary
right.
State.
We're in. We're in. A Nationalist Case for Slavery Reparations. John Zmierich wrote the article. Folks, if you follow me on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook, and if you get my weekly email, which I'm begging you to go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for my thoughts, you'll get all this stuff. You need to have this stuff. Share it with your friends. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.